2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, the venues for many upcoming weddings may have been booked, but there might be a lot to iron out in terms of the detail and how to make it a fab experience for absolutely everyone who's going to be there. Like everything, there are trends to be watched so that you hit the right notes on the big day. And joining me now to give us a steer on what's happening in this department is luxury event planner Aisling McVeigh. Aisling, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Laura. So lovely to be here on this gorgeous morning.
I know. Oh my God, it's so fab, isn't it?
I know. Hopefully some brides and grooms get gorgeous weather like this for their upcoming wedding days. It would be absolutely fantastic.
So I'm sure there are a lot of weddings happening this weekend. So like, well done.
Yeah, I know. Good timing. Good
timing.
Great
timing. So it is. Aisling, before we get into the current trends, I know that they're the not only events that you were involved in creating. Can you tell us a little bit why you got into the wedding world?
Yeah, sure. So I've been working in luxury hospitality for quite a long time, both at home here in Ireland and internationally. I've worked across the Middle East and Asia Pacific. And throughout that work, I've really gained an appreciation for the personalization of a guest journey.
Yeah.
And kind of how we really infuse that both for the couple who are getting married all throughout their planning process and their guests who are attending the wedding as well. So when it comes to that personalization, I kind of am deeply passionate myself about crafting an experience that speaks to the couple's own story, kind of what are their tastes and preferences and where's the destination that they're getting married in, and how can we bring all of that into this kind of highly bespoke crafted experience for them and their guests to enjoy. Now, when it comes to bringing all of that to life, we've got very busy professionals who are getting married. They mightn't have the time to ideate. And then we have couples on the other side who have a great idea but just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So I founded Danu Collective so that we can help couples and guide them along that entire process, and really to make sure that they enjoy every milestone along the way, from your dress shopping, your tasting, you know, to selecting vendors, nailing down your flowers.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a stressful process. So we really try and make sure that we're taking that stress away and helping couples to enjoy it.
Aisling, I'm smiling away looking at you here because you seem like the most relaxed person in the world for things that really stress people out. So
yeah. We try.
I feel like you're the perfect person to be in that position. What about here in Ireland? Like, how do we feel about it as a place to get married? Do we have a lot to offer?
Personally, I think Ireland is world class as a wedding destination. And I think the fact that it's so highly sought after as a destination globally says a lot. And it really comes down to people and place. So if we look at the people, we are renowned for our warm and welcoming hospitality. Mm-hmm. That's second to none. We see that ourselves when we go on staycations. It's inevitable. Then you've got the place itself. So it starts with the diversity of venues. So we have everything from these gorgeous country houses being run by these families with gorgeous stories to luxury castles and everything in between. And what we're really starting to see a rise in is visitor attractions as well. So museums, galleries, there's lots of alternative places that people can get married in now as well. So venue-wise, so much diversity out there. We've got an incredible food and drink story. Our food producers, the artisans, even looking at the emerging distilleries. So, you know, a lot of couples look to maybe do a gin bar during their drinks reception. We have enough Irish gins now to just have a purely bespoke Irish gin bar. You could use forage botanicals from the local landscape infused in the drinks. We've got incredible scenery for beautiful photographs. You know, you can't ask for a better backdrop than that. You know, so there are some of the aspects that I really feel, you know, would put Ireland on the map in terms of being an incredible destination.
And I think that Irish people know how to do a wedding.
We absolutely
We're
do.
We're incredibly good at it.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is the crack of the cowl, especially for people, you know, whether their partner is not Irish and they've got family coming in, or it's a destination wedding for people. It's lovely to connect them with the destination through the music and the dance as well.
It's amazing. A lot of people may have booked their wedding venues for getting married this year, but there is an emerging idea of a shorter lead times. Why is this happening, and is it possible to turn around quickly?
Yeah, so there's obviously a couple of reasons why people might be looking at a shorter lead time. We're definitely seeing an increase in inquiries and people looking to get married kind of within a few months, definitely within the year. And, you know, one reason might be that they're keen to have a family and they don't want to delay, so they just want to have the wedding as soon as possible. Other people might have their wedding fund set aside and ready to go, so they don't need the 18 months to maybe chip away at that. And they just want to get married. And then we may have, you know, somebody might have a parent or a friend who is maybe ill and they want to do their best to have that person with them on the special day. So we do see that a lot as well, particularly with parents. It's absolutely doable. And what I would say to anybody who is maybe in that situation is to be open for midweek. So a lot of, you know, venues in Ireland, Fridays and Saturdays might be gone. But if you're open to a midweek wedding, Wednesday, Thursday, there's lots of flexibility there. Your suppliers will be available. I myself got married within 3 months and we had the best day. It was on a Wednesday. I'm sure there was a couple
of people. You just went for it, Aisling.
We just went for it. I'm sure a couple of people got the invitation. They were like, great, there goes another day's annual leave. But I knew if we had have gotten married abroad, they would have all taken the few days off or the week anyway. So that's one way to look at it. And as I say, dream suppliers, everybody we wanted in the room was there and we had a great day.
Where are we at concerning numbers? Because is it standard to invite everyone you know and the extended family to your wedding?
So with numbers, I think it's completely personal preference and personal circumstance. And what I would say, a lot of it can come down to budget as well, how much you have to spend and what the price per head and different venue is. So when a couple gets engaged and they're starting their planning journey, the first thing I would say is take out Excel and just put everybody down on the list. You might have an idea in your mind as to what style of a venue you're looking for, whether it's a country house or a hotel with a big ballroom, but that's going to dictate your numbers. So you know, every venue is going to have a minimum and a maximum capacity. So the maximum capacity of a ballroom is going to cap it. So, you know, do err on the side of caution when you're sending out your invites. If the max capacity in the ballroom is 2,250, try not to go too far above that. You will get some drop-offs, but maybe not too many.
Maybe you won't get that
guarantee,
many.
Or you can't. I know we do see in some venues that are amazing and you'll always get the majority of guests are going to RSVP. So that is one thing. And then as you start to do your research and you find out the price per head and your numbers, you'll then start to see maybe what is feasible for you as well within what you have to spend.
I'm sure you have to take a lot of consideration as well, even about like places to stay, because you could have this absolutely amazing venue that mightn't be able to house everybody. So if the surrounding area doesn't have enough, you know, accommodation, then that's going to cut it in half as well.
Exactly. And if that's one of your prerequisites when it comes to choosing your venue, that's absolutely a deciding factor as well. Is, you know, you could have this beautiful country house with limited accommodation, or maybe there's a hotel that has all the rooms but you weren't so keen on the ballroom. So there's sometimes there's trade-offs as well based on the criteria that you want to meet for your day. Absolutely.
Do you like obviously advise everybody go and look at all these places and book in to just get a feel for it?
I would say I always start with the guest list, so get an idea of your numbers, a rough idea of your budget, and then it's the vibe. So
we're all about the vibes.
We're all about the vibe. Exactly. I prefer the word vibe over theme. So it's all about the vibe that you're trying to create, and I think that that will dictate the type of venue that you're going after.
What about creating memories on the day itself? Like, what is happening in this department? Because I mean, look, let's call it fate is fate. Social media has crept into the mix here as well.
Yeah, so documenting your day is such a special thing. You know, the bride and groom, or the bride, bridegroom, groom, however your day is looking for you, is you're going to be so busy, and we always say to a couple, it's going to be over before you know it. You're not going to see all the fun that's been had in different corners around the room. So I think documented is definitely important. So photography, videography, I would always recommend. And when you're choosing those, I would look at the aesthetic. So whether somebody has kind of a nice, you know, moody, glamorous style, or whether they're light, kind of an airy and fine art, you'll be drawn to a certain aesthetic, and that's going to help you try and find the photographer that's right for you. Beyond that, we're seeing an emerging trend with content creators, and they capture on their phone raw, in the moment, real-time content, and that's edited in a way, or you know, formatted to spec to suit social media. So whether you're sharing it on your channels or the next day on your family WhatsApp groups, that's kind of the intention of that content, that raw, unedited content captured on a phone. And then we've got the videographer and photographer who are capturing it kind of on that high spec equipment, and takes a little bit longer to produce and edit. You know, it could be a few weeks before you get your gallery. So sometimes people just want those little snippets in the next 24 to 48 hours that they can have. So huge trend we're seeing there with content creators.
Yeah, and I can see like loads of people are obviously doing content creators, but like that, a lot of them do a guarantee that you will have your footage in 24 to 48 hours. So like, you are getting, and you want to see, and you have a little look through, and then it's exciting again when you get your video back and when you get your photos back and all that. It's all good. Obviously, it needs to be said, you don't need any of these things either. It's personal preference. It can often be heard with people at weddings when you have different groups, because you might have different friend groups, and you've got your family, you've got your work friends, for everyone to mingle together. But there is a new way of sorting this out. What's the story there, Aisling?
So one way I love to do this is the dessert bar. So you'll find kind of at the end of the meal, I think we've all been to weddings where by the end of the meal you're kind of thinking, oh God, I could easily slip away now and have a little sleep for myself. There's a lull where kind of the band is setting up and everybody's getting ready for kind of that high energy part of the night. But dessert bars are a great way of getting people up, mixing and mingling, moving to another part of the room, trying different things. So that's a really fun aspect that we have seen incorporated into some recent weddings and events.
That sounds really good fun, and also dessert bar sounds amazing. Get a little taste of absolutely everything. Lots of people are more health conscious these days. They don't want to wake up the next day just feeling like a bag of cats. Are they being catered for?
So I think people maybe who aren't consuming alcohol for a wedding have been an afterthought. It's usually been sparkling water, tea, coffee or soft drinks. Yeah. And globally, you know, with consumer sentiment, we are seeing an emerging trend with zero proof demand. There's an increasing demand for zero proof options across the food and drink landscape. So I definitely would say, you know, do consider it. Some brides have loads of friends who are expecting and, you know, can't drink. So do we have a Nosecco on offer? Yeah. Is there a really cool mocktail?
And a nice Nosecco.
A really nice Nosecco. I know there's some debatable ones out there as well.
But there's some incredibly tasty ones.
Spirits. There's amazing non-alcoholic spirits. So just adding a really cool maybe mocktail to the menu, lemonade bar, just thinking about that experience for them. Same with beers. You know, there's lots of options out there. You could have a non-alcoholic beer bucket. And then why not the next day for people who are health conscious? Maybe you could do kind of a fun run the next morning to help people sweat it out before they get into the day two celebration.
And that's not compulsory either.
It's not compulsory. Definitely not. No.
Colours are a huge thing when it comes to wedding, but what are the popular colours when it comes to various aspects of a wedding in 2025? This year, what are we looking at?
This year, so there's always a Pantone of the year, and I think people in our industry are always excited to see what that Pantone is going to be. So it's Mocha Mousse for 2025, which is kind of this kind of lovely light shade of brown. For anybody who is looking at a neutral palette, it's a gorgeous tone to take inspiration from. Yeah. So any couples getting married next year, just keep an eye out for when that Pantone comes out if you want to have some fun. Other places to take inspiration for colours is the catwalk, the fashion week, what you're seeing, the season. So think about the season that you're playing in. Kind of pastels are more suited to spring, you know, summer wedding, whereas kind of the more earthy tones are for autumn. Deep greens, berry reds for a festive wedding. So there are some different aspects. And also think about the destination, whether it's Ireland or abroad, and the decor of the room. Yeah. So always go do a site visit and take inspiration from the room itself as
and
well.
See what will actually suit
there. Exactly, because you might have a colour and it doesn't blend with the space.
I was talking to producer Kate before you came in with this earlier on today, and I was saying that butter yellow has become this huge like thing in like just, you know, it's the fashion colour of like the season, yada, yada, yada. And I've seen girls on TikTok being like, let it be known that I chose butter yellow as my bridesmaids' dresses last year before it was a thing. But that's the thing as well, you don't necessarily have to follow the trends. If you stick with the colour that you like, just go with it. Because in 10 years, no one's going to remember anyway. 2 years, no one's going to remember.
Exactly. And like I said, really important that it blends with the space as well.
Yeah. Is there something going on with traditional table arrangements right now?
Yes, I think any couples planning who are using Pinterest to pin or Instagram are probably seeing gorgeous setups with tables. There are two different formats that are emerging. Serpentine, which is like this wave, you know, down the centre of a room. And then we also have caterpillar style, which is using the traditional rounds and weaving them together so that they cascade down the room. So rounds, obviously, every venue is going to have rounds, you know, on offer, whereas the serpentine tables, you would need to hire those in, and then you need to think about the bespoke linen as well. So just two different elements to consider. And then with the rounds, you're going to lose some seats when you put them together to create that caterpillar, but great for people who have smaller numbers in a big space and want to make it feel full.
Okay, fantastic. Sustainability is at the forefront for a lot of couples these days. Do you see that being played out in people's wedding plans?
Yeah, I think we definitely get a lot of, you know, people highlighting it as important to them from the onset, and certain ways you can ensure that you're bringing that into your wedding day is looking at your stationery. So you can get seeded paper. Gorgeous idea for invites that your guests can then go and plant.
Oh, that's really cool.
Really nice idea. Yeah. So that's one aspect. Another element could be the florists that you work with. A lot of florists won't use foam and they will source as much as they can from local growers. So just ask the question. A lot of people would have it stated obviously in their brochure, but you can always ask. Same with any venue. They'll all have a sustainability policy on their website. If it's very important to you, go and have a look. Yeah. See what their policy and initiatives are around food waste, those aspects. But there are some ways that you can bring it in. Same with decor, try and rent as opposed to buying and disposing after. You know, some ways that you can work around it. Yeah. We try where we can to send flowers to a hospice the next day. We've also donated kind of, you know, meals in the past to a shelter. So there's lots of ways around it for people who really want to make sure they're incorporating that.
But just ask the question.
Just ask the question.
Just ask the question. Ashley, we've got a text in here that says, hey guys, very interesting conversation. I'm getting married next year. Congratulations to you. Two grooms. It's a black tie wedding. Very snazzy. Any suggestions on groomsmaid dresses size 14. I'm looking for something elegant and classy. Is this something you can help with, Aisling?
A groomsmaid.
Yeah, groomsmaid.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so I'm assuming your bridesmaid dresses for your two fabulous grooms and they're going to look hot hot in their tuxes. So you need something that's going to match the vibe on that.
Fine. So I find that Folkster is amazing for bridesmaids dresses. They have an amazing shop. It's an Irish run business by a fantastic Irish businesswoman. They are on South William Street, just opposite the Paris Court Centre. So I would say a great place to go. They have every colour for every season, gorgeous styles, even if you want to mix and match with the two. So I would recommend that that's a great place to start.
They genuinely, you're talking about colour palettes, Folkster have got a colour palette for absolutely everything you're looking for. They're also out in Dundrum and there's one in Kilkenny too. So all around the country, definitely a great place to look at and great way of keeping it Irish. Finally, Aisling, any couples that are getting married over the next 12 months, they're looking ahead as they plan their big day. Are there any trends that you see coming through that might guide them?
Yeah, so I think we've probably touched on some of them already in today's conversation to just kind of tie it all together. I think personalisation is key and we see that a lot with kind of the personalised bows. At the moment, you can do personalised napkins. Some people leave little notes on place settings. There could be an arrival amenity when guests arrive to the venue. So I think personalisation, absolutely. And you know, that's a timeless thing to do. Trend-wise, absolutely leaning into the different colours of the season. We're seeing a lot of lamps on tables, layered linen, the table formats that I mentioned, food and beverage innovation. So again, having those kind of zero proof options and looking at your drinks reception and seeing is there anything that you love from a food trend perspective that you can weave in.
I would say, Aisling, as well, out of all of this, like, your biggest job as well is just making sure that people don't sweat the small stuff and enjoy their day, because you only get to do it once and you've got your friends and your family around and it's just a day for just celebrating and having a good time and everybody's there for you. Just to go back to Folkster for a second, they're actually gone from Dundrum, but they are still available in South William Street, like you
fantastic.
Said there. Aisling McVeigh, thank you so much for joining us today. Some fantastic ideas to consider. That's luxury event planner from Daniel Collective, Aisling McVeigh. I so enjoyed our chat this morning. It was fab. Thank you.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.